And now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, a fun, informative green talk radio show featuring guests from all over the country talking about how living green can be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website at www.MrsGreenGoesMainstream.com for more information about her guests.
Day is critical because there's about 15% of the numbers that they count for today, because so many people go and they turn in their gift cards and blah, blah, blah. So let's see. I maybe see you at one of the malls in a little bit. I don't know if you're going, Andy, but I'm going to be going. So this is my last show for 2009, which blows me away. I was writing it up this morning and I thought, where did this year go? In the blink of an eye, it is over. I have an awesome guest on the show today. She's another person that's internationally known, the Fabu fashionista herself, Cameron Parker. She is another Tucson treasure. Brad Lancaster last week. These are people that get written up in other places, and she is flown all over the world for modeling and fashion consultation. She is a treasure trove of information about what's going on in the fashion industry. And we are going to talk to Cameron about if it's getting greener or not, if it's really getting greener or not, and where she sees it going in terms of sustainability. Lots of information to be had there when you go and do any research whatsoever. And fashion is huge because guess what? We all wear clothes. And I have another in-studio guest, my youngest to date, and her name is Madison Violet Davis, singer. And you've heard her name mentioned before because she is my granddaughter, and she's going to be telling us about a wonderful program she's involved with called Pennies for Peace. So do you want to say hi, Maddie?
Hi.
Okay, so we know she's there. And as always, I want to thank my sponsor of this show today, Chapman Automotive. I just got my hybrid washed because it's a black car, and Andy, you need your car washed too.
Bad.
Bad. I mean, black cars get very dirty. So I'm very happy with my Honda Insight. I was told when I met with Marcus Beaumont, their marketing director, the other day, that you literally could breathe the exhaust from that car and it's clean air. So I'm very happy to be driving the car. I love it. It's quiet. It has pep. And it's wonderful. So I'm not going to be breathing the exhaust. I just want you to know that. A little bit in the news today, my friend Ron Lentz is back. And he's actually called into the show. And a little follow-up to the holiday greeting extravaganza. He just saw on TV that 2.65 billion holiday greeting cards were sold this year. And he said that his guess was low by a magnitude. And the pile of paper that represents is about a football field 10 stories high. So think about that. And then he said that he'll tell me someday about the ink vehicle and pigments used in the printing process, which I may not want to know. And he says even those that purport the use of soy ink aren't telling the whole story. So, Ron, if you're listening, I hope someday that you do call in and tell me. Thanks for writing and being in touch with me. And I'm going to quote some of the other follow-up you gave me, put it on my blog, because you too are a treasure trove of information and you love to take me on, and I invite that. You've got a lot of information that I like to hear about. If anybody knows of any place to send greeting cards, my mom used to send them always. Every year she'd gather everything up that she got. She was such a really an environmentalist in the ways of just really being very conscious about waste always. And if you know where to send them, would you send me an email at info@MrsGreenGoesMainstream? The only place I could find is St. Jude's Ranch for Children, and they do lots of things with the old greeting cards and turn them into money makers. But it would be great if there are some maybe retirement communities here in Tucson, something local. So if you do know about what to do with old greeting cards, use greeting cards, please tell me. info@MrsGreenGoesMainstream. My friend Bonnie called me this morning and they found a great website, and it's called holidayleds.com. changing subjects here. Everything you ever wanted to know about holiday lights, the LED lights, which of course are the best and safest and should last forever. She said there are great sales right now, frequently asked questions. So check it out. That's holidayleds.com. Thanks, Bonnie and Sarah, for finding that. And then I just wanted to share a really interesting article I read before we get to our guest, Miss Madison, about Whole Foods. And I think it was very interesting because they said that they are going to refocus back on their health food roots. I mean, that is pretty much what I think about Whole Foods. But they went the path of kind of gourmet chocolates, and they have a chocolate fountain in there. Andy's rolling his eyes. It's so great. If only
yes.
we had, if only we had visuals once in a while. Me too. I'm like, oh, that's sad. Because chocolate, to me, should be its own food group. But they have a machine in their corporate headquarters in Austin that's a chocolate fountain. Well, that's getting ixnayed. It's going away because they want to go back to healthy. And they talk about no matter how much money we spend on health care, will never be enough unless we get into prevention. And they want to be part of that, of eating healthier, helping with obesity. And I thought it was really definitely noteworthy when the recession hit, they really took a hit because they had focused on gourmet foods.
Chocolate helps with obesity.
Chocolate makes me happy. That's the bottom line. So I don't know how good it is for you, but I know it's good. So now my fabulous, wonderful light of my life, one of my lights of my life with Liam, my grandson, get close to the mic, Maddie, is going to talk about a really important project that he told us about a month ago, and it's called Pennies for Peace, right? So what is that program, Madison?
Well, my school actually did it, and we collected pennies, and we sent them to Greg Mortensen so that he could build schools in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
And Greg Mortensen wrote a wonderful book called Three Cups of Tea.
And there's a kid's book called Listen to the Wind.
Listen to the Wind. Have you read that book?
Yes, my class actually read it, and that's how we got started with Pennies for Peace.
And what is it? What is the message of Listen to the Wind?
Well, Greg Mortensen was like walking in the on K2.
He was a climber, major K2. Climber, right?
And he lost his group, and the people like found him, and they brought him back to their village and gave him a bed next to the fire, and they helped him get better. And then he wanted to pay them back, and he asked, like, their wise man, what can I do to pay these people back? And he said, listen to the wind. And he was like, and the story says that, like, because it's like a kid telling it, that he heard the kids' voices, and it was like, they needed a school because he found out that they, like, what once or twice a week went into the cornfields or something and drew with sticks in the dirt. And so he wanted to build them a school.
Oh, my gosh. That's a wonderful story. So what did your grandfather do about your Pennies for Peace after you told him?
He found, one and a half jars full of nut jars that my
big, huge, right, major
nut jars that my grandma gets from Costco full of pennies. And so my grandpa found them and he gave them to me when we went up to. And
what happened when you took them to your school? Were they happy?
The whole class gasped, and my teacher was like, oh, wow.
That's great. How many pennies do you think were in there? I have no idea.
We called and asked my grandpa, and we asked him for an estimate of how many he thought, and he said about 2,000.
2,000 pennies. And Madison's face lit up, too. So we contributed to Pennies for Peace because of this little precious granddaughter that is so committed to peace. And I highly recommend the book. It was wonderful about this man. It was just an awakening for him. He got deathly ill, and they did nurse him back to health, and he saw health, and he saw the need for education in these just rural areas. And they're building a school with the money you're raising where?
In Afghanistan and Pakistan.
In a very dangerous part of Afghanistan, she told me.
Okay. Like, yeah. And my teacher said that it took about $12,000 to build one school, and the kid, and there was actually a librarian when he went back to raise the money to build the school, there was a librarian who said, I want to help you with this, and I want to, like, help with the school, and I want to, like, work there. And
he has built schools. I mean, he has built many, many schools, and he is really doing it to really create peace in the world. So we are going to have to take a very short break. That was the fabulous, the one, the only, Madison Violet Davis Singer. I'm proud of you, Miss Madison. I really am. Stay tuned. Miss Fabu Fashionista, Miss Cameron Parker herself, has lots to say about how green the fashion industry is and is it. Stay tuned. You'll find out. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. We'll be right back.
Love is a banquet on which we feed.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. Happy Saturday. Happy day after Christmas. Happy shopping if you're out there. If you're driving in the car, have fun. Get a real good chance at some of those bargains. And I think of it as stimulating the economy. Isn't that a great way to rationalize shopping? I think it is. My tip, figure out a way to recycle your old clothing and your old textiles like towels and blankets, and don't throw them away. There are so many, many choices available now for you to have an alternative. Major department stores will give you money for your old jeans. There are specials like that. You can have a tax advantage, tax deduction by taking your things to Goodwill, or consider reselling them at many resale shops. Buffalo Exchange is an excellent choice in Tucson. So now we are going to go on to the Fabu Fashionista. Cameron Parker happens to be a personal friend of mine, and I am sure that I am going to learn things about you today, Miss Cameron, that I don't even know.
Maybe one or two few things.
That's, I think so. So I guess to give people a frame of reference, you really are very well known in the fashion industry. You're still flying all over the world, and that's no exaggeration, for your modeling. And so can you give us a little background other than truly being beautiful on the outside? I know you're beautiful on the inside, but how did you get started and decide this is what I want to do?
Well, thanks, Gina. Actually, I had just graduated from college and was discovered while shopping with my mother. And it's not an industry I ever would have aspired to ever go into and ever even thought about it. And I actually, for the first probably 8 years of my modeling career, I had to keep my mouth zipped so people wouldn't know my age. Because typically I got into the industry rather late at a whopping old age of 21.
You're kidding.
And this year, to sum it up, this year will mark my 22nd year in the modeling and beauty industry. And I'm quite grateful, but I've also surrounded myself with some great representation. I'm represented by the Ford Agency out of New York City. And I've made it a very strong business. My personal life is separate from my business life. And I've also been a very good student, having modeled for some of the giants of the industry. I've learned from them. I've studied from them. I've just kept my eyes and ears open and been a sponge. So I've really learned from all the different countries I visited, learned practices and means, how things are, you know, designed from sketching all the way to the finished product, and learned about sustainability and textiles, et cetera.
Well, and I just think it's amazing that, like you said, you gave it away. You started over 20 years ago, and you still are very much in demand because of, now I know, your coachability.
I think a recent magazine article that was written stated, and I was really, this was a line that I was blown away by, and it's really hard to kind of blow myself away by something, but the writer said that she got quotes from all over, from sources all over, saying that I am the most all-around model working in the industry today. And I really treasure that, because that's like an Academy Award.
It is like an Academy Award. And I remember back when I first met you a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was at a Celebrate Children event for Strength Building Partners. And I took one look at you and I said, you're not from around here, are you? Because if you see her, you think, okay, she just got here from L.A. or New York or fashion, you know, Project Runway, but definitely not here, and still just about as down home, kick off your shoes, and not a pretentious bone in your body, which I think is a gift.
Well, thank you very much. And I treasure your friendship, and I just treasure that you know me on the inside, because you know that that's what I pride myself on.
In this case, beauty is not just skin deep. So let's talk about the trends. I read a lot about it. Women's Wear Daily just did a huge article about trends in the fashion industry. Historically, green not even showing up on the radar. More recently, I think much more activity, obviously. So what changes have you seen, and what do you see? I mean, is it real? Is it going to happen? Are people giving it lip service? Or is there really a conscious effort in the fashion industry to do things more sustainably? We have to talk about fair trade and explain to everybody what that is. So what's your view from really being involved in the inside?
Well, from basically from the top houses, the fashion houses up on top, there is conscious effort. I believe that the designers that are out there really are aware of what's going on with green. They're still a little bit question mark. You know, they're questioning choices where they're buying their textiles, how they're starting to make an effort as far as being more hands-on. Rather than sending buyers out to go textile shopping, they're actually going out and looking at the fair trade agreements, looking at where these textiles are being manufactured, and it's starting there. I don't, quite honestly, it's going to take a lot more time, because there is so much more in this industry than what meets the eye, because as you and I were talking before we went on the air, if a designer finds a great textile that's overseas, and it's great, it falls within all of the balance of fair trade, it's organic, it, you know, farmlands haven't been touched by long time chemical use, etc., and they find this great material, how are they going to get it back to the United States for mass manufacturing without it getting on an airplane and leaving carbon everywhere? And so it really, I think the fashion industry is taking note of it. It will be some time before most of the major design houses really effectively apply green standards into their, you know, from their sketching. I know that they are recycling all of their paper. A lot of things when they're doing some of their sketching where they would just shred it, they are recycling that. They're taking a good look at it. I just think you've got to give it a little bit more time, because there's still some more research out there that the designers really have to take a good look at.
And one of the things that to me could be looked at as really sad, or the other thing that you can look at as really positively, is that somehow, some way, America has to get back on board in the manufacturing arena in a significant way. The car industry is a perfect example.
Exactly.
And people are sometimes saying, why do you have a foreign car, blah, blah, blah. Well, Honda is very interested. They're investing in plants in the United States, mm-hmm. and Volkswagen is. But when you're going up against wages that are so cost prohibitive, you can't do an affordable car.
Right.
We have to look at it. So it's not you absolutely, to me, articulated the challenge in a lot of manufacturing arenas. We want it to be organic. We want it to be certified fair trade, but we don't want to pay $80 for a t-shirt.
That's exactly right. And
because we can't.
Exactly. And, you know, there are several new designers that are up and coming that have the backing that I think that will be in mainstream, that you'll see in your department stores more and more, especially for 2010. A couple of them I can recommend is the Terra Plana Zendil shoe. This is a really amazing shoe. It's from the Soul of Africa collection. These shoes are hand-stitched by previously unskilled women in South Africa.
You're kidding.
All of the profits from the sale of these fair trade shoes help orphans affected by AIDS. Now, I think that's great work that needs to be recognized on a global scale, because it has a rubber sole, but it's all fair trade. So there, you know, first of all, they're educating their women. Then the money is going back into their countries for sustainability and health for that. Also, Kay Quinn Organics. Kay Quinn is a good friend of mine. She's a former Hollywood stylist that has really rededicated herself to certified organic fabrics for babies and kids. And her apparel is really fashionable, but it is super environmentally friendly. And natural beauty with simple, elegant lines. He has a great website, KateQuinnOrganics.com. Everything is organic and fair trade. So,
and that's huge. And I think when we get back, we are going to have a friend of mine call from Toque de Pasión, who has a fair trade organic everything store here in Tucson, and she's been on before, so we want to talk to her a little bit about it. I think we need to talk to our listeners who may be tuning in for the first time or are not as familiar about what fair trade is. And I want to introduce the very controversial subject. We had a very, very heated discussion on this show about a year ago about bamboo, and it certainly has its proponents and its detractors. And it's, boy, the more you read, the more you go down the rabbit hole of how clean can bamboo be. So we are interviewing Cameron Parker, Fabu Fashionista. She also has a spot on our sister station, 92.9 The Mountain, with Jenny. We should talk about that a little bit when we come back. We're going to go to a short break. Cammie, thanks for calling in. Hold on the line. We'll be right back. And I don't forget to let me ask you about Oprah.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST, and we are interviewing the Fabu Fashionista, Cameron Parker. Cameron, I just love saying that, and you can tell. A Tucson treasure, a treasure trove of information about what's going on in the fashion industry, and really knows what's hot and what's not and what's going on and what's really not. So, Cameron, that was a mouthful. And
I like to sum it up as, unless it's Fabu, it's taboo.
It's taboo. I know. I love your expressions. And I wish that people could just see you and know exactly what I mean. She's just a vision. So, Cameron, what about, I think, fair trade is what I call a complex carbohydrate.
Exactly. That's a great explanation
to that.
That's perfect.
So just give us the Reader's Digest version of what it means to be certified fair trade.
Well, certified fair trade means, first of all, the working conditions in the global garment producing industry are of a set standard, meaning there's, health, safety, environment, priorities that go into the workplace, and also, too, that the workers are being paid a fair wage minimum.
And they're not 12.
Exactly. They have to be of minimum age. In the United States, we govern things. I mean, if kids under the age of 16, they have to have a worker's permit that's issued by the state, and they can only work so many hours. And when you step outside of the United States, third world countries will get kids as young as 3 and 4 to start beating things and pay them like half cents, nothing cents. They'll get paid 2 cents a week. And so we want to stop that. And the garment industry as a whole and the fashion industry as a whole is really taking great response to that.
What I wonder is, we're going to have Melissa McCormick come on from Toque de Pasión.
Yes.
Can something be fair trade, which means they're not using children to tie on, to sew on beads by hand and paying them a half a cent a week? Can it be fair trade and not certified organic, which wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing always?
Yes. There's actually some things. There's actually a British website right now called TrendsterClothing.com has paired up with the Fair Wear Foundation, which is a Netherlands-based organization that promotes the Clean Clothes Campaign. And what both of these great organizations are doing are improving working conditions all across the world. They're going in, taking a good look at things. Although they may not be sewing organic and natural-based clothing lines, they're at least going in and taking a hold of some of these sweatshop operations, rather than paying, cents, pennies, half cents on the dollar. They're cleaning up this organization so that everything across the textile market is fair trade.
Okay, that's awesome. So let's get Melissa on the line and have her tell us a little bit about the store, which is certified fair trade, organic, you name it, it's all there, and where it is. And Melissa, are you there?
Happy holidays, Gina.
Happy holidays. Thanks for calling in on this Saturday. A big shopping day. I hope a big shopping day at your store also. So tell us about what your intention is with Toque de Pasión.
My co-owner, Cesar Zaygara, and I opened up Toque de Pasión in 2006. And we're dedicated both to fair trade and to green. And so it's our intention to work with fair trade companies, small artisans, who adhere to the fair trade criteria that Carmen mentioned earlier, as well as much as possible to try to be green. So carrying organic products, for example.
Okay, okay. And it, just so we know, on the air, it's Cameron Parker. And what do you carry in your store, and how do you make sure that it meets the standards? I know there are international standards. Cameron, I found the Fairwear Foundation in doing my research.
Uh-huh.
So it's like jewelry. It's like Abbott Taylor's ad was on, and there are international organizations that apply these standards across the globe. So in the fashion industry, Melissa, how do you make sure everything that you put in your store meets these standards?
We pretty much try to look for the recognized fair trade certifications. One of the main ones for stuff you see in the U.S. is the Fair Trade Federation, the FTF. And then we also get a lot of stuff that's certified through the World Fair Trade Organization as well.
Okay.
And we also get products, since we get a lot of stuff from South America, they tend to work through SCAL, a European certification process, both for fair trade and for organic.
Okay. Okay. And tell people where your store is in case they're out today and want to stop by.
Oh, well, we're located in the beautiful historic Broadway Village, Tucson's most historic shopping complex based on a Mexican pueblito on the southwest corner of Broadway and Country Club.
I know. It's really fun to go there and just roam around. I love that little spot. It is a little treasure trove in Tucson. Another one of Tucson's treasures. Well, thank you very much for calling in, and I love your store, and I wish you a wonderfully prosperous 2010, and I love what you're doing and what you're taking a stand for.
Thanks so much, Gina. Happy New Year.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, Cameron.
Yes.
Let's talk about bamboo. That is a huge,
debate.
That
is a hot topic
right now.
It's a
hot topic. I had people going at each other about a year ago on my show disagreeing.
That's a Mexican cockfight, I'm telling you.
It really is. I mean, it is. So tell me about what the argument is about. I really do know a lot about it, so I cannot feign ignorance. I know what my opinion is.
Right.
So,
well, I'm going to jump to, first of all, my opinion. I literally am just, you know this, Gina, I'm literally a few hours off of an airplane from Australia. And coming into customs, they always ask, are you carrying any bamboo products? And if so, they're going to confiscate it.
That's
coming back into the United States. And if when I went through customs in Australia last week, they asked the same thing, that they would confiscate it if I was carrying any bamboo products. So if customs and countries are confiscating it at our borders, something's up.
I had no idea. That is news to me. Okay.
Okay, something's up with that. I mean, I don't care if it's a bamboo wind chime, they're going to take it. You know, if you have a bamboo handle on a purse, you better be careful.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, that's setting a parameter right there saying something is not good. If it's a sustainable material, then why are they confiscating it?
And I know that the debate that was on the show, it was my friend Scott from Garment Graphics,
uh-huh.
and then the Truly Organic from up in the Pacific Northwest. It was a great discussion, and I was the newer Mrs. Green, but I've read lots and lots of articles, and the bottom line is, yes, good for hardwood flooring.
Correct.
In my opinion, no good for clothing. You can't take something that hard without harsh chemicals
to beat it down,
to make it soft.
Correct.
I mean, there's just, and I know there have been some attempts to have it be a little bit cleaner, but it is an incredibly soft material.
And also, let's high-end fair trade into this, how it is farmed, it's hard. I don't want to buy something that someone has been killed over. I mean, bamboo farmlands right now, people are getting killed over farming bamboo because they know there's such a high price tag on it. I don't want to say it's as extreme as diamonds,
right,
but it's almost there. I mean, they're having to have armed guards on bamboo farmlands. Now, that to me is not fair trade.
No, that is not fair trade at all. And I will tell you this. It's so much the part of what I honestly love about being Mrs. Green is
mm-hmm.
the awakening of what dirty gold really means, what blood diamonds really mean. And
right.
talking to people like you and other icons in their own industries,
mm-hmm.
it really does give me such hope because things are getting better.
Things are getting better. I wish we could, you know, get it on warp speed, but at least the fashion industry as a whole is taking notes. They are having summits. I do want to tie in. Remember Project Runway Season 5 winner Leanne Marshall, 80% of her final line was made of sustainable materials.
I love it. So like what? Like what?
All fabrics that either were hand-dyed with fruit dyes, something like that, weren't synthetic dyes that she used in it. Also materials that she saw the fair trade as far as woven materials, cottons, if it's an organic cotton, et cetera. Remember, just, you know, a couple parameters, making sure people understand the difference between organic and natural. Organic doesn't use synthetic chemical ingredients. Natural brands are not organic, but they do use chemicals such as preservatives.
Right, right. And think about it. Something flashed in my head. The Native Americans, when you look, they're, to me, one of the most beautiful pieces of art that I've ever seen, ever, ever, mm-hmm. ever, are Navajo blankets.
Yes.
And you can be sure all they're doing are using dyes that occur in nature.
In
they
nature.
Use berries and yes. everything else like that to make those tapestries of beauty. And there's no really toxic waste. Of course, they take a really long time, and they're very expensive now, but there is a way to do it. And I think there's a way to do it on a massive scale also.
There is. And I think the fashion industry, it's, believe it or not, it is taking notice. However, it is still a couple of steps, believe it or not, behind the fragrance and cosmetic industry.
And I'd love to talk to you about when we are going to have to take a break in a uh-huh. minute, but I hate those breaks. Did I say that already? I say that every week. It's like Andy gives me the sign. I'm like, what are you doing, Andy? But to me, fashion is the clothes. It is the shoes, the purses, the cosmetics, and the fragrances.
You
so
bet.
I would really love to know. I don't know a lot about eco fragrances, but I bet you do, and I'd love you to tell me. And
well,
then a quick.
And we'll finish up definitely kicking it off with Keds. We'll talk a little bit about eco friendly shoes, and
shoes.
Then move into fragrance. How's that?
I think that's great. And then before we go to break, quickly, what about why are people, all of these big department stores, buying denim? There are coupons. Trade in your own denim, trade in your old denim, get $10 for jeans. What are they doing? Are they using them to make other jeans, or is it going into insulation in greenhouses? What are they doing with that denim?
Well, a lot of times, first of all, they're going to have to go through, and let's hope that they use a green dry cleaners or a green cleaners to sanitize the jeans. A lot of times they'll go through and rehash, they'll resell off the denim as used denim, because used denim right now is a hot commodity.
Hot. I know.
It's incredible. So if they're giving you $10 back, I'd say hold off and take it to a resale shop. You're going to get more.
That's really a good point. That really is. Maybe not for my jeans, because I've been told they're a little bit out of fashion, but I'm getting better. Okay, so we're interviewing Ms. Cameron Parker. She is calling in today from her sick bed where she just got back from Australia. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. And don't let me forget to ask you about Oprah. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. I love the bumper music that Andy picks for me. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST, and we're talking sustainable fashion with an expert in fashion, Ms. Cameron Parker, a Tucson treasure, Fabu fashionista herself. And I want to make sure that we talk about eco-fragrance, cosmetics, and shoot a little bit more about shoes, and then about your visit to Oprah.
You got it.
You know, but I have to tell you, off air, Andy gave me a Christmas present, and I'm not kidding. I love being Mrs. Green. It's an eco-friendly watered power clock. You power it by water and salt, and I read the instructions. You put water in and a dash of salt, and he said you have to clean it every week, but it's not like a fish tank. There's no fish, no fish popo or anything like that in there. So I am going to report on it next week. Andy, you have to remind me.
You'll
I'm going
it.
To do it, and it's
water
green. And salt, no batteries.
Oh,
batteries
fantastic.
Not batteries not included because you don't need them.
Now that's a Fabu gift.
It's a Fabu gift that might make it on Cameron's show.
I'm trying to find a LCD flat screen that'll be powered that way. But haven't found that yet.
Call my husband.
Yeah maybe next year.
With you, my friend.
Maybe next year. Okay, so we've decided bamboo is not our friend.
Not our friends. You know, like I said, if they confiscated it at customs, they don't want it here.
Yeah, that is, I had no idea. That is something that I'm sure a lot of people heard first here on Mrs. Green because of our Fabu fashionista. And I did want to do a trivia question, even though it's too late. I forgot because I was so wrapped up in the conversation. It's so me. The average American throws out how many pounds of clothes and textiles each year?
I'm not equated into this.
No, you're not, because you don't throw things out. The average American throws away how many pounds of clothes and textiles each year? If you have an answer or if you have a question for Cameron, please give us a call at 520-880-5678. Give us a call, 520-880-5678. Okay. Shoes.
All right, let's get a kick out of Keds.
Kick out of Keds. Okay.
I love it. First of all, they have a whole, if you go to their website, Keds.com, they have a great green section that is solely devoted to their entire green line that they're doing. By using 100% organic cotton, Keds reduces 1,000 pounds of toxic pesticides.
You are kidding.
No.
I mean, that's a lot of pesticides.
1,000 pounds. That's a lot. Eye-catching colors are created by natural resources producing non-toxic inks, which is great. For the treads, for the bottom of your tennies, recycled treads, 20% recycled rubber used on the outer sole, and it's factory-certified recycled inner soles, which is fantastic. Listen to this. PVC-free shoelaces that are made from 100% recycled water bottles.
Oh, you are kidding me.
No, I'm not.
I love it. I
and
love
finally,
it.
I love this. Nickel-free eyelets. This
oh my.
Is a truly green shoe. I love it. Keds.com, they have a whole page devoted to how Keds is helping the environment, the earth, their entire green line. It's a fascinating website. I really encourage you to go and take a look at it. Your listeners, you'll get a kick out of it.
Well, I can't wait to see you in a pair of Keds. That's the next great thing. I'll put the picture up on my website. Okay, what about fragrances? I always talk about my friend Lino, Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
And she always smells so good. Is she polluting the environment with her fabulous fragrances?
Well, you know, each person, and again, fragrance and cosmetics, you have to really take a good look, first of all, at yourself.
You really do.
Because everyone has a different pH level, and how something smells on one person may not smell fabu on another, let's face it. So what makes a product officially organic? It's got to be certified by one of the following entities, and this is fragrance only that we're talking about. It's got to be certified by either EcoCert, which is the leading French certification, the Soil Association, USDA, or BDIH, which is the German version of the USDA.
Okay.
Okay. So the parameters for eco-fragrance, these are the parameters that if you're going to call your fragrance either organic or natural, it's got to fall within these guidelines. Number one, organic brands do not use synthetic chemical ingredients.
Okay.
Period.
Huge.
Also, organic brands use farmland that has been free of chemical use for many years.
Okay.
Not just 5 years,
right,
but
right.
for many years, okay? Also, organic brands do not use some of the key ingredients that are found in fragrances today. Petrochemicals, parabens, glycols, PEGs, silicone, SLS, or synthetic fragrances.
And now,
versus natural brands. Now, natural brands are not organic. They do use chemicals such as preservatives because if you're using a natural entity and you need the sustainability of it, natural brands have to use a preservative for long wear on that. So those are just the parameters on that. Those are also the parameters moving into the cosmetic industry as well.
One of the things that I thought about when you spoke about it, we had a really wonderful Christmas dinner last night with friends. And one of the conversations that came up was how really we know so many people with cancer and so many people with liver cancer and pancreatic cancer. And when you start talking about all these chemicals and you talk about them being on your clothes and in your shoes and
right.
in your dryer sheets and in your perfumes and in your cosmetics, it all comes together for me, not to mention your food that you're eating. So it's a health thing as well, because I never really did think, I admit it, but that you spray the perfume on, it's absorbed into your skin instantaneously just
Correct.
About.
Correct.
So we have to be really careful because it's leading to things that we have no idea what's, and we keep finding out. So
that's exactly it. And can you believe that there are over 600 new perfumes launched every year?
No, I can't.
100 new perfumes. I mean, you know, the eye-watering array of basically, you know, celebrity fragrances.
I know.
But it means negotiating your way through 2,000 man-made chemicals.
Ah, that's awful. 2,000 man-made chemicals. And you see, like, when I look at the Halle Berry commercial,
yeah.
what woman would not want to put that on and look like Halle Berry, which does not happen, by the way. It's like, oh my gosh,
not
I want to get that perfume.
Your arms and blink your eyes, sweetie.
That's right.
You know?
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Exactly.
Okay, and then just quickly, this has nothing to do with green or fashion or sustainability. What did you do on Oprah? I know you've been on her show a couple times. On the other, I don't know, just explain it. I understand.
No problem. Actually, I've been on six times. I've been a guest of Oprah's six times, and they called me. And
has she invited
my imagination, you know, my shock answering the phone and like, I get this phone call every day.
Yeah, well, you better be giving her my number. You know that. Okay.
I'll give
you tell us quickly. We have a minute left, so tell us.
It was really amazing. I went on, as you stated earlier, I'm the face and voice of Oil of Olay, and we went on, it was a skincare show, and she has me on pretty much the last 6 years. I come on and talk about anti-aging, and our message, the message that when I go on there is to talk about what works for one woman will definitely not work for another woman. You have to take in lots of variables and just make sure that you're taking good care of your insides as well as your outsides, and talking about your skin is the largest organ on your body, and taking in all of that and making sure that a good message about good skincare is represented. And
well, you better be handing her my number the next time you're on. We've got to go. You're a doll. I love you for being on. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. Talk to you all next year. Thanks for tuning in. Pick up a copy of the Green Times. And I am so grateful for my listeners. Thanks for tuning in. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST.